and welcome to Marooned at MacBite's headquarters. Day 253. How is everybody? I need to get the chat. Wonder what moods my browser's in today. Oh, a better one than yesterday. Although, having said that, wouldn't be tricky, that. The machine was in a mood overnight.
My browser was in a mood at work.
What did you do to it, Mike?
Nothing. It's been like that for ages. Oh, before I go and do the washing up.
Listen to the show. We'll do the washing up and Mike's going to do the washing up. Jonathan, do not move.
I'll do the washing up after.
Thank God something's making a noise. That's my watch. Carry on.
You know, I had that video.
Which one was this? Was this the one where the lip sync was off?
Yeah, the lip sync was off. So I fixed it.
Oh, said the Excel expert. Go on. That's not really your job, is it?
Whose job is it?
Do you not have video editors at work?
Yeah, me.
Oh, right. In that case. Oh, did you make the vaccine as well? Because that wasn't your job either.
No.
Well, take the credit for it. Take the credit for it.
What was I going to say? I've lost my thread now.
Video editing at work?
Yeah. Yeah, I split the audio and video, and then I just nudged the audio along to lip sync. Anyway, then I sent it to the guy, and he said, "Awesome, thanks for working your magic, Mike."
Oh, magic, Mike! Strikes again.
Yeah.
No, my browser. No, actually, what I did, I was sat there in the night. You were there, weren't you? It was early-ish last night. But I had to call you in, so why would I have had to call you in last night? Oh, it was book club. That's right. Yeah. There I was in the middle of my book club, sitting there minding my own business, and the machine died a death again. Screens went black, then the login screen came up. So I called Mike in to witness it. But what I'd actually done was tried to run Affinity Designer. And that's the third time it's crashed when I tried to do that. So basically, I've just said to Mike, I've got Affinity Designer open because now it's open, I'm not closing it. Oh boy, do I need to spend money. Isn't that right, Jonathan? Would Jonathan like that to happen in the middle of an after hours, do you think? Hitting the buy button in the middle of an after hours.
I think Johnny's disappeared.
You reckon he's not there?
He's not replying.
He's not.
He might have fallen asleep.
It's a bit early for Jonathan to fall asleep, but
he's probably in his dinner.
Hello, Paul! There's an echo in here.
He's probably rescuing his...
lackeys.
Lackeys or stage.
There you go.
Yeah.
I think he could actually have nodded off. Well, it's his own fault if he misses it. We are so close to pushing the button on more kit. It's frightening, isn't it?
We could say that we've bought it. Johnny comes back, we'll pretend we bought it.
Hello, Kim. No, Jonathan's there. You can't fool him. No.
Yeah, I was right. Getting his dinner out.
No, seriously. We were just at the point of pressing the button, at which point I remembered that Apple have a Black Friday sale. Anyway, got the mail this morning. There is up to £120 star off qualifying equipment star. When it's purchased during a certain time frame, star. So I scrolls down trying to find this star to see what it all means. You saw the size of the font.
Tiny.
There was no way. I put on two pairs of glasses and I still couldn't see it.
Kiva's had a bath and is in zoomy mode.
Oh, poor Kiva.
Just what Kim needs with a bath bag. Don't go chasing around.
No, just let her run it off.
Let her zoom herself out.
Yes, let her run out of steam.
Talking of Zoom.
Oh, yes.
Mike's got the president waiting. Well, he can wait.
You know, when you say the president, I've got this vision of Trump. Or Trump's Biden. Gone. Or both of them. No, he's not. He's barricading himself in. Leave him be. Hello, Simon. How are you feeling? And how are all the baby Simons and Mrs. Simon? So there I was poised, and I thought, well, I might as well wait and see what happens on Friday. Anyway, we now know what's happening on Friday. It's up to £120 off qualifying kit. What is interesting from the email is what they're considering to be qualifying kit, which, when you click the button to go through to the Macs, takes you through to the laptops. And then there's an extra button if you want a real computer, you know, a desktop. shows you the way Apple are thinking, though. So we are going to need a machine because this one is dead. I would say dying, but, you know, dead's more accurate. Right now, I am just sat here talking. I'm not touching a thing. If it goes from under me, you'll know about it, but I won't have touched a thing. All ready for the weekend already. Oh, yeah, I'm ready for the weekend. Although, Boris was about, wasn't he? That was hysterical. He was on Zoom and he suddenly started doing the Norman Colliers. He disappeared off of Zoom. The Speaker of the House, and I do love the fact, the Speaker of the House has got the broadest Yorkshire accent I think I've ever heard. And he's at it, have you pressed a button, Prime Minister? So funny. So basically, Boris got himself off in his prime. Upshot of all that is lockdown till March, basically. So we'll let you potentially have Christmas, but we don't know yet. We're reviewing it every 2 weeks and everything can open up again next week. I thought the figures don't warrant that at the moment, but never mind. Oh, it's great, isn't it, Jonathan? You're thinking this man's running the country and he can't even use Zoom, which given 2020, you know, that's a life skill now. That's as much of a life skill as being able to speak. But no, he managed to cut himself off. But what was funny about it was, I don't think it was him, because he was speaking and he had papers in his hand. I think somebody had cut him off. But when you watch this clip, our parliament, it's frightening. When you watch the clip to the very end, Lindsay Hoyle, who is the Speaker of the House, said, right, we're taking a 3 minute break. So they took a break while they got the Zoom stuff working. Oh, and he also said to the Prime Minister, it's not our end, Prime Minister, it's yours. I must find the clip, it's brilliant. Oh, no, I mustn't touch my computer. No, I'll touch Vivaldi and hope it doesn't break. It's definitely worth seeing. If this was America, I'd be giggling away. But this is us. Barking mad. Right. Oh, don't tell me you've not got it on that page. Or am I on the British page and I need to be on the international page? Oh, where's Boris? Maybe I should be on the COVID page. Oh, come on. Anyway, there's much celebration at AstraZeneca today, obviously. The Oxford vaccine, as it's known. I'm not seeing this bit about... I'll find it. Is it in videos of the day, maybe? Or funny stories. It should be funny stories, to be honest. It was an absolute classic. Most of Australia's moving to opening up. Well, yeah. You've just handled it better than we have, Paul. Clearly. Shouldn't they have people that have Boris all teched up? They should, Kim. But I will never know why, in all the briefings that we've had since March, you've got everybody stood there saying, next slide, please. Seriously, if they can't handle a PowerPoint flicker, there's no hope for them. But I guess somebody else is doing the magic with the slides. It just seems so incompetent to be saying, next slide, please. But he just totally... He carried on talking, but obviously there was no audio. It was just, you're just waiting for it to happen. Obviously, he would have been in the House of Commons, but he's self-isolating. So I assume that room is the broadcast room in Downing Street. But, you know, if they can't get him to broadcast the half a mile from Downing Street to Parliament, we've no hope. We have no hope. And this is the ones that are thinking the vaccines will all be sorted by Christmas. You must be joking. Not a chance. You can't remember where you got it from. Somebody did a number 10 background. Oh, I'm going to have a look at that. You know who loves his backgrounds? Stuart. He has a whole collection of backgrounds. Different one every time. One of them, I think, was a Teletubbies and another one was Play School. Oh, I'm liking that, Jonathan. That's actually just what Boris looked like. Just imagine Boris's spitting image model in front of that. Yep, that was it. And he was just mouthing it. Do you know what they have said that they wouldn't do? And I think it's a bit off. They don't do the signing for the deaf. The BBC have to overlay that on the top. So by the time they've cut the slides off and then they've put the signer on the screen, you can't see a thing. But they won't do that. So it was as though the gods of the deaf decided to cut Boris off because, you know, they were fine. They could lip read. And given probably once Boris realised he wasn't actually broadcasting, I'd have loved to have been able to lip read myself, to be honest. It's the age-old problem universities suffer from. I'm willing to pay tech people more than lecturers, therefore terrible tech people who get more in industry. That's very true. That is very true. CQ Deb, CQ Deb. Yeah, I'm liking that background a lot, though. So, what's this week looking like? Monday was going to be quiet. Actually, so far, it has been quiet. I did break my PowerPoint. Managed to break it. Now I've got to manage to fix it. Plotting and planning for the Advent thing. What else have we been up to? I think that's about it for the moment. Oh, and my machine dying a sad death as well. Oh, the funny thing is, though, I swear these my machines are unionised. Because when I thought, oh, this is going to need another reboot and I'm going to need to take it down to cold and reset the PRAM yet again, I thought it's fine. Laptop, pick up the laptop, put the laptop on the desk. This is the one that's biggles. So while the other one's chunnering on with itself, I open the lid. I thought, right, let's get on. Pressed a button. I thought, this one feels pretty slow. Maybe it needs to warm up a bit. Checked the battery. Battery was fine. Thought, it's still a bit slow. When all of a sudden it made this noise, and you know that black screen with all the text on it? Got that. Just as Mike came in and I said, you know this iMac? He said, yeah. I said, well, that's rebooting itself. I said, and this is what I'm seeing on the laptop. He went, what's that? I just looked at him, you know, rolling my eyes. And there was a thing, if you ever had a Commodore Amiga, it when it crashed, instead of saying I've crashed, it said the guru is meditating. Well, my mum just loved that. And she hijacked that phrase forever. So if Dad said something to her and she ignored him, and he was like, are you listening to me? She'd go, the guru is meditating, leave her alone. So he looked at the screen, he went, oh, the guru is meditating. I said, yes, but that's not the point, is it? It shouldn't be doing. I only need this when the other one isn't working. But it seems they're unionised, one out, all out, brother. I did manage to get the biggles back, though, before I got the iMac back. But yet again, I have resurrected the iMac, so hold all thoughts. Oh, the fridge man comes on Wednesday. Excellent. How have you been coping? Is it cold there? It's pretty cold here at the moment. We've actually got the fire on. So with it being that cold, if it's cold enough for the fire on, you'd be all right putting milk and things outside. Not that we have milk in our fridge because we're dairy free. But you'd get away with it. But obviously if it's hot, then you wouldn't. I think he just likes you, Kim. Third visit from the fridge man.
Really?
It's like Wendy. Just keeps coming back for more. If that's all I've got, yes, please.
Wendy. Oh, my torch has come on again.
What have you done with it? Have you got a sensitive wrist action?
I just pressed the button. Push the button.
Oh, don't sing. If you're going to bring me some cold water up, if you could bring me some hot water up, that would be good as well. Thank you very much. Waited on hand and foot. He's so good. He is so, so good. Let's have a look. An old fridge in the garage. Excellent. Yeah, what we did with Mike's mom when hers went, we gave her it's a bag really, but it's an insulated bag, and it's the top opens like a gym bag would, with a zip all the way around it. But in the middle of the top, which is totally flat, there's like a Velcro flap as well, so you can get in and out really easily. And somebody else gave her an electric one. So she had all, she put 50-50 of the stuff in it. And the stuff that wouldn't fit in, things like an open bottle of milk, where she was concerned it would fall over, she left out on the balcony. Good job they got upstairs flat. Oh dear. It'll be at least a couple of days before he can get back if he doesn't fix it. Oh, I know. Shocking. This is the thing, and they always need a widget that they've not got. Must admit, we don't tend to have much repaired here. I do remember my aunt once, and it was what happened after that was the interesting bit. She had a washing machine, and this washing machine was making a funny noise. Well, there was something wrong with it. Did the belt go? I think the first issue was the belt went, so it wouldn't go round. So she got a repair person out to fix it. He supposedly fixed it. And about 2 weeks later, it started making a noise. So she had to get the repairman back, thinking it's a different issue. So he comes back and he has another look. He said, no, it's not the belt, love. So she said, well, what is it? So he said, well, I'll have to take it apart for that. So obviously it wouldn't be making a noise if it wasn't going round. So it was going round. So he gets this thing dismantled and says, oh, look, there's a 2 pence in it. That's what's making the noise. So obviously she had to pay again for that repair because it was a separate issue from the first issue, which was the belt had snapped. It was only ages later, like another 18 months later, it was in the local paper that a local repairman had been done for fraud. And it was this guy that she'd had out. And what he was doing was he was coming out and fixing whatever the problem was with washing machines, dryers, etc. And then booby trapping them. So they went again within a couple of weeks. And what he was doing with the 2 pence pieces was putting them on the inside with some kind of like glue that once it had been through like 3 or 4 cycles, the glue would be washed away and the 2 pence would start rattling, which was exactly what had happened to her. She was beside herself. She was so annoyed because she had paid twice. And she had no idea. So my mum had eyes like saucers with like, I'm not having mine repaired. So what she used to do, she had this wonderful washing machine that was a top loader, which is quite unusual in the UK. They tend to be front loaders. But this top loader was amazing and she had it for years. And when she replaced it, she bought the newer version of the same model and it loaded from the top. And she got my grandmother the same one because my grandmother had serious arthritis. So for her to be able to lift the lid and pop the stuff in from the top was far easier for her. Thank you. Enjoy your meeting.
Oh, thank you.
Go and look after the president. He's waiting for you.
Let him wait.
Are you having a little protest all of your own?
About what?
About the president being in early.
No. No.
Never mind, get on with it. Anyway, once that washing machine broke, you couldn't buy a top loader anymore. So she was quite distraught that she wasn't going to have a top loader. Night, Jonathan. But what she decided to do was get like the cheapest washing machine she could possibly get. Price-wise, in the UK, they were probably about £150. But they went up to like £1,000, depending on what you wanted. So she got the cheapest one. And then when she's in there, they said, do you want the 3-year guarantee? Mum said, no. It came with a 1-year guarantee. And she said for £150, she was not bothered. If it broke after 12 months to the day, she'd just get another one. I think it actually lasted about 3 or 4 years. And when she said, this isn't working right, I said, well, just get your new one. And that's exactly what we did. So we tend to buy low end of the range and just replace them. Because when she was spending a fortune, my washing machine, I think the top loader was about £899. It was ridiculous. You do then have to take the extra guarantee. And then you've got the problem of repairs. And then when she did that with a cooker, after 8 months, they told her it was a legacy model and they didn't do the parts anymore. And she said it's not even out of its 1-year guarantee at that point. So buy cheap, apart from computers. But you know, I would if I could. But there's Apple stuff that's got to work. So I'm just going to have to bite the bullet and pay for the proper one. But yes, hopefully it'll be okay for you. So we've actually got 2 fridges and 2 freezers, just in case. The 2 freezers were because we had 2 households at the time. The freezer that my mum had arrived when I was about 3 and it didn't leave. So she had it over 45 years, about 48 years in total. And I remember having my, you know, your first day at school photo. She sat me on top of the freezer and took it there. So I've got this picture of this freezer. And the one that she wanted to replace it with, she wanted a chest freezer and they weren't as big as the one she had. So after, I mean, if my mother wasn't happy about something, we all knew about it. So we could all give you chapter and verse on the fact that she couldn't get a freezer the size she wanted. A little bit like Jane once said to me when I said I can't choose between the 10.5 inch and the 12.9 inch iPad. And Jane flippantly said, buy both. And I did. I said to my mum, why don't you buy two? And a little face lit up and she went, oh, I'm liking that idea. So basically, it's like the freezers are kosher. We have one stuff in one type of stuff in the other. But if one actually did break, then you could take out the more expensive stuff and decant it into one. So that's why we buy cheap with white goods, because they're no better if you don't. They don't last any longer and there's no spare parts anyway, so why bother? So some things that we get are, like Mac's, pretty expensive. The rest of the stuff, less so. Let's just say, less so. Do you know, it's a shame Jonathan's gone, because I've just remembered one thing I did do today. Influenced by Jonathan, no less. Let's just say, if it arrives by Friday, we will have an unboxing on Friday. If it doesn't, then we'll obviously have to wait till next week to unbox it. But it was influenced by Johnny. Don't tell him. He has no clue. Not yet. It would be so funny to unbox it and not tell him what it is. Oh, small things amuse small minds, don't they? But I'm in the midst of planning. It's dangerous. I have actually planned up till, I think it's New Year's Day. Mm. And very excitingly, Mike's off a week on Friday. I am actually strangely excited about that, because I've just said to Mike, we were discussing holidays. You know our laughable holidays. I could reel them off, but you know the laughable holidays. And I said, you do realise this year, because every year it comes to Christmas and you think, one, because we have so long off. So Mike gets, I think it's 35 days, is it? Actually, no, that'd be 7 weeks. Not 7 weeks. However many days he gets, with the ones he has to take over Christmas and bank holidays over Christmas, we always try and save enough so you can get 4 weeks holiday. Is it his post-it note system? Kim, I couldn't possibly comment. Don't say a word, but hold that thought. Can't say any more than that. So when we plan these holidays, it's like, oh, it's blissful. You think of it as one long chunk of 4 weeks. The first time used to be nearer three, to be honest, when Mum was around. But because Mike got long service holiday, so he'd been there that long, they gave him more holidays. So that's why he's got as many holidays as he got. Oh, I know how he got that long. He can buy holiday as well. Sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? But you can buy extra days holiday, which is why this year's holiday was a complete debacle. Because we had holiday planned for Easter and AstraZeneca were deep organising the vaccine. Looks a bit mean to say, sorry, mate, my holiday comes first. So I said to Mike, who was in the midst of training the people on the team, something about putting data in Excel. And obviously they need Mike or they'll end up with a government debacle where the Excel spreadsheet's the wrong kind of spreadsheet. So when that happened, I said, well, just keep working and we'll take it whenever. But then it turned out you had to have it by a certain time or you wouldn't be able to have it at all. Or they would enable you to carry over what you had, but you wouldn't be able to buy any more. So we ended up with a holiday we didn't particularly want in, I think it was the end of June. Anyway, we did that. But the Christmas holiday, you tend to think is like, oh, a month off. It's like the year you leave school and you've got weeks and weeks off. But when you start putting in, if you can imagine like a monthly plan in front of you, once you get your pen in hand and you think, well, Christmas Day, we're doing X. Oh, and Christmas Eve, we've got all the masses to do. And the week before that, we've got X to do. And when you cross off the days or sections of days that you've got commitments with, another one was the Christmas concert at church. Because last year, Mike was with his dad last year, obviously. So there was only one of me and I couldn't do the door and the raffle tickets. So they got somebody else for the raffle tickets. You wouldn't think selling raffle tickets was a PhD level skill. But when you've seen somebody else sell raffle tickets, OMG. They put the names on the wrong half. So you know you would put the name and number on the half that goes in the bucket to pick out. They'd put them on the wrong half, so when the number came out, they had no idea whose it was. Then somebody started selling individual tickets instead of strips of five. It was a complete carve-up. If it could go wrong, it did go wrong. So we normally have the raffle tickets to do and the concert to do. Then we have these sessions on a Wednesday, like preparing for Christmas sessions. So we pencil those in. And by the time you've finished, you've got like 20 minutes on Christmas Eve and that's it. Good evening, Anthony. But this year, and then the other year, the other things that have happened are let's say 8 years ago, Mum wanted to go shopping every day for like 20 days. It was hideous. Mike dealt with that, thankfully. Then there was the year Mum died. Well, there was the year Dad died for a start. So that holiday was a debacle. The one after Mum died, so that was a debacle. In fact, I could have done literally with 3 months off. Well, it got to the middle of February, I think. I got a cold the day before her funeral, which was everything was done. And I kind of, the adrenaline that had been keeping me going just drained from me and I just dropped. I don't know how I actually got through the day of the funeral. I was that ill. I got a bit better, but by the end of February, that was when the teeth started. So that Christmas, just it was the Christmas that kept giving and giving until the following year when we decided we'd need the extension doing before the conservatory fell down. So 2015 was a complete debacle as well. That takes us to 2016. 2016 was the first year that Mike was in the Catinians and there was like 90 different events to go to in December. So by the time we finished our holiday, we were ready for another holiday. 2017 rolled round and there was a disaster that struck us. I think it was the weekend we started, the holiday started. And it was one of these things that just totally rocked you. And Christmas became like, we had commitments, but then we didn't really want to do them because of being rocked by this debacle. Which takes us through to 2018, when we decided we were going to pare it back. Yeah, that didn't totally work. 2019, I think we did pare it back a little, apart from the fact we'd got it all planned that we would be paring it back and we would be putting us first and really having like a holiday that reinvigorates you. You know, like people who go abroad and then they come back and say, oh, it was a wonderful holiday. I can take on the world now. Yeah, one of those. And then Mike's dad got ill. But this year, despite the fact the churches are supposed to be open for worship, guess what? I'm not pitching up. So we've not got the Wednesday night commitments. We've not got the church commitments. We're not selling raffle tickets. There's no Christmas concert. Mike's dad's already dead. My mother's already dead. They're not going to die twice, I hope. It's completely clear and we're just looking at each other going, if we can't do exactly what we would like to do, you know, for us this year, it will never happen. So we've got the plan sat there. The plan is sat there. We just need to commit to the plan and do it. The 2020 pandemic's like a holiday. Oh, exactly, Kim. The thing is, when I think if life is just normal and it's bobbing along and you see other people with a calamity, you think, oh, you know, I couldn't cope with that. But when it hits you, you do. Somehow you do. You just cope. I mean, even in the midst of total chaos, which I'm not at all sure. When my gran, which was 1998, was ill, they took her in hospital and she went to visit. So you went to visit, like, you could go twice a day. There was 2 visiting hours. I think it was 2 till 3 and then 7 till 8 or something like that. You know, and every day somebody came up to visit her. And that was what you thought it was like. And in the end, she died and she died in hospital after about, I think she'd been in there 6 weeks. So that's the only experience we'd had. And exactly the same happened with my granddad. I think he was in there about 10 days. And at the end of that, well, they said he was fine and he'd be coming home and he had another 10 years. He lasted about 18 hours and then died, which was why my gran was so upset. If they'd have just kept their mouth shut and said it was touch and go, she would have been prepared. But, you know, the day before he's fine and he's sitting up and then the next day that she arrives and he's dead. what a night that was. That was also coming up to Christmas. But that was how it worked. So when Dad got ill, it was like, well, they'll take, you know, in my mind, in Mum's mind, you have it in your head, what will happen? Well, they'll take him in hospital and then we'll go and we'll visit. And that's what we were gearing up for. Only in the 20 years, in fact, it wasn't 20 years then, was it? It would have been 2003. No, 20 years. 2000, yes, 20 years. No, 15. I'll get right in the end. 2013. So that's 13, 14, yeah, 15 years. So 15 years later, apparently when you get ill and you get taken to the hospital, they can't get you out fast enough. You're bed blocking. So it's like, well, we'll send him home. And my mum was like, I can't look after him. What do you mean send him home? We'll send you everything you need. And what they meant was literally whatever you needed. They insisted on a hospital bed. She didn't. So they would have been sending him home with a hospital bed, which wouldn't go in a bedroom. So would have to be in a downstairs room. Commodes, wheelchairs, Zimmer frame, district nurse visitors, you know, every day, carers visitors four times a day. It was like Piccadilly Station in here. And I don't think they realise the impact that has on the household, particularly when one person's trying to work nights, another's got to leave and go to work. We've got an ailing dog, and now there are four humans and a dog in the house, and one of the downstairs rooms you can't use because there's a bed in it. And we have a tiny kitchen to start with. I don't think they have any idea. So the disruption is unbelievable. But I did think at the time, and the same thing happened again with Mum, and even Mike, who lived through it with my dad, but he was at work every day, Mike. But, you know, I would have said he knew what went on. He'd lived through it. When it happened with Mum, I think we'd been going about 3 days, and we got like, we didn't see each other. We were like ships that passed in the night. We got about 30 seconds together in the hall one day when we were walking past each other. And he said, he grabbed hold of me and he said, dear God, was it like this with your dad? And I looked at him and I went, actually, it was worse. Why? And he said, there was more visitors. And he said, I don't know how you've coped. He said, you're driving me insane. And I didn't think Mike was like me. I thought I had insanity, but, you know, he didn't. But then when Mike's dad got ill, I was kind of warning his mum in episodes, bit by bit, what to expect. Because I thought, I don't want to terrify the woman. But I was like, well, they will send you people, you know, carers, if you want them. Oh, okay then. And they'll send a district nurse if you want one. Oh, right, okay. So I'm just telling a bit by bit. When I went to visit, probably about a week before he died, she was a different woman. And she grabbed hold of me and she said, how'd you cope with all this? And I thought, you know, I did actually cope with it twice. But I'm thinking to myself, I thought I wasn't coping very well. I was totally stressed and wrung out because I can't be doing with people in the house. And the first 2 days Dad was home, there was 47 visitors. And I was having to answer all the doors. But it turns out everybody else feels the same way. You feel invaded. So this year, nobody coming to the house. I must admit, Kim, I've enjoyed that. The Amazon man knows what to do. There's instructions on the door. Obviously, Mike's made friends with Wendy, so the food's all right. So the only situation we've got now is we're saying to each other, you know, that bit of the year, I guess in the States, is when you're coming up to Thanksgiving. And you're thinking, oh, Thanksgiving, long time till Christmas, it'll be fine. And before you know, it's Christmas Eve. So I said to Mike, we need to start thinking about Christmas presents, Christmas cards, because people are going to start sending them. Because at one point, Mike said, no one's going to do Christmas cards this year. We've already had our first Christmas card. And it's the 23rd of November. So I said to Mike, I think we are going to actually have to think about Christmas cards, dear. But in terms of we've got this calendar in front of us, and we've got no commitments. You see, if it comes to Christmas and it's like, oh, do you know what? I could really do with sacking church off. You know, I could really do with the time that I would be spending at church doing something else. It would be so frowned upon if you did that. Plus the fact you'd miss your friends. But obviously this year, That's not on the calendar. So it's not one of the things we've got to work around. So it's blank. There's nothing on it. So if we don't do what we would like to do this year, I don't think it will ever happen. I really don't think it will ever happen. From what I've heard about what Boris said today, there is talk of us being in lockdown till March, which is rather interesting, isn't it? Because if we make it to the 16th of March, 365! Who thought, hey, there'll be 360 more than we thought at the beginning? I can actually see that happening. I agree with you, Paul. I think Christmas cards, people are more likely to send a card. But what's happened is, I mean, I love Christmas. I have always loved Christmas. Mike, probably not as much as me, apart from when we met and he got his first Christmas tree and we put it up in his flat. In fact, it was so funny. I should get him to tell you this. But he went out and he bought this Christmas tree and he said, I've put the Christmas tree up. And I walked in and I said, yes, this is the first time you put a Christmas tree up, isn't it? And Mike said, how do you know? I said, it's upside down. Now, before you think he's card carrying insane, it was a fake tree and it came in two halves. So the top half would look like it would be cone shaped, wouldn't it? And it would join in the middle. Well, he didn't realise that. So it was more of a diamond shape. Don't ask. But we fixed it. But basically, we both adore Christmas. We do. So I would send Christmas cards, you know. Spreading joy is what I would be thinking. So, but actually, I didn't send that many because I didn't have that many friends that I would be sending cards to. Anyway, this year, no, it probably 2-3 years ago. And another thing I would do is send somebody a kind of digital card on Twitter in a DM. Well, I'm busy sending cards and happily, you know, singing Deck the Halls while I'm doing it. And I started getting snotograms back from people, you know, for sending them a Christmas card. Don't celebrate Christmas. Okay, whatever. You know, honestly, I thought in the end, do you know what? It's easier not to bother. And I thought, how sad. I mean, if somebody sent me a happy Diwali card, great. It doesn't matter. I don't celebrate it. Fantastic. They celebrate it. So they're sharing their joy. I'm fine with that. Not a problem at all. But so many people were snotty about it. I stopped doing it on Twitter. That was the end of that. And proper Christmas cards, you'd think, wouldn't you? Like Paul, you'd think. What happened about 2-3 years ago was people at church were saying, oh, I can't be bothered with Christmas cards. I've made a donation to charity. You know, and I'm stood there giving out Christmas cards and they make you feel as though you're shortchanging somebody. And I'm stood there with like, oh, right, OK, so you don't want a Christmas card then. Just, I think you can say I've given to charity without it sounding accusational to the person trying to give you a Christmas card and wish you the joys of the season. The year after, again, it got even worse. And Mike came home from the Catinians and said, God, don't mention Christmas cards. It's become like a kind of, well, by last year, it become a kind of weapon. You know, don't mention the Christmas cards. You're being tight if you're not giving to charity. But the thing is, giving to charity, which one? Because if it was Macmillan, trust me, they're not getting a penny. I wouldn't even give them a button. But it might be a charity of my choice, but at the Catinians, it's the choice of the president. So I said to Mike last Christmas, do not mention Christmas cards to me. I'm not sending any next year. I said, if they cannot accept it with the intent with which it's given, the grace with which it's given, I said, then they can stuff themselves. And he said, what are you going to do with the 500 Christmas cards that we've got in the box to send? And I said, put them up in the hall because I like them. But as Paul's pointed out, so far, people are sending Christmas cards this year. And I'm like, I wish they'd make their mind up. Oh, Simon's an atheist and he loves Christmas. Christmas is to me, have you ever heard that thing, yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus? It's about the sentiment of it. To me, it's not about the religion at all. It's about people generally tend to be more forgiving and nicer at Christmas. But then what happens is you've got stores that admittedly start putting up Christmas stuff in August. and it's a bit soon. So then you get the people who are like, it's too soon for this. And they kind of spoil Christmas. Not for me, because I'm like, I'm going to ignore you. When I said to people, we put the Christmas tree up in May, they just look at me. Oh, what are you going to do about it? If I want to put a Christmas tree up, what's it got to do with you? And they, like the neighbour that's on Simon's murder board. Hello, Mrs. Simon. What has it got to do with you? So don't try and piddle on my parade with my Christmas cards. But we got one today and it is absolutely gorgeous. Where did I put it? It's over there. I'll take a picture of it and put it in. Can I get a picture now? Because it's pretty dark in here. Let me have a look if I can. It's in a packet as well, which doesn't help matters. If I can get a decent enough picture, I'll share it with you. But it came in a card. And obviously it's pretty early, but I know these people have already got their tree up. Can you read what it says? Just about. I'll ping this up to Cloud Up if it'll take it. But I'll get a proper picture for the weekend, for the week at Magpie's headquarters. But this is just absolutely gorgeous. And I said to Mike, this year feels different, as though maybe people are a little bit more grateful. So I'm with Paul. I think this year we're going to get more Christmas cards than we have for the last however long. Because it is about connection, isn't it? Which, to be honest, is what it should have been about before. But people seem to have a lot of emotion wound up in Christmas. And I'd reached the point last year where I said to Mike, they're not piddling on my parade, so I'm just going to totally ignore it. But this is absolutely gorgeous. See if I can lighten it up a bit so you can read it. It's an ornament for the tree. But it's such a special one. Right, let's see if I can lighten it. Can we brighten that a bit? Is that brighter? Oh, my eyes are bad today as well. So for Kim, Christmas is all about faith. You try to send cards that everyone could enjoy. And of course, that's Kiva on it. Perfect. Perfect. To me, it's about, I mean, faith obviously comes into it, but it's about the sentiment that it's the one time in the year I think that we could be nicer to each other and nobody be like, we've got some idiots who don't seem to appreciate people being nice to each other. I don't get it myself, but that is what I would say about it. So I love Christmas, absolutely adore it. There are so many Christmas films I've recorded, I could be watching them till this time next year. Right, let's see if I can get this picky up so you can see it. We are going to put it on the tree. I think it's a beautiful, beautiful gift. Right, it's not going to have it from there, is it? So let's have a look that way. Come on. Why does this phone crash every time I open the Photos app? Oh, might I need a new phone? You're not getting one till next year. So don't even think about it. Right, let's send that and get it where it needs to be. Go on. Off you go. Right, let's get it up there. I've never seen anything like this. I bet they have loads in the States, but I've never seen anything like this. It's like glass. No, I don't want to send it up to Devon Think. Right, I think I've got it. There we are. Isn't that gorgeous? I can send Tracy as many digital cards as I like. Right, you're on, Tracy. Let's have a look. And if Kim was as good as Debbie, she'd send everyone one too. Our favourite Christmas card was one titled, If It Were Three Wise Women Talking About Turning Up On Time and Bringing a Casserole. Oh, I put one on Facebook today that was similar. You know, the three kings turning up with their gifts. And there's like the manger and then there's the three kings outside, each holding their gift. But they're separated by 2 metres and a strip of tape outside the manger. Everybody seems to have enjoyed that one. Would you say Kiva in a hat? I don't think we'd get Lola in a hat, would we? Jonathan came up with a fabby idea. A Lola calendar. Calendar girl. Lola would love that. She would love that. It's gorgeous, that, isn't it? I've never seen anything like it myself. And it came in the card. So the card arrived and I looked at it and I said, I know exactly who that's from. So Mike said, how? You know, do you know who that's from without even opening it? Because it was like we discussed a few weeks ago. You don't know what your friend's handwriting looks like because people don't tend to write stuff anymore. He said, you can't tell from the envelope. Couldn't tell from the postmark. So I said, no, but I still know who it's from. And he said, go on then. Have they told you? And I said, nope. They've not told us. I said, but I know who it's from. I said, there's only one person here. It must be this person. And he said, who? Who? And I said, it's Kath, Carolyn and Joe. And he said, how do you know? So I said, look at the envelope, Mike. It says to Elaine and Mike Giles Thomas. I said, they're the only ones who ever get our surname right. I was down as Elaine Thomas last week. Mike's been down as Mike Giles before today. I said, but that one says Elaine and Mike Giles Thomas. I said, so it's got to be the Moors. And fair enough, we opened it and it was. But it's absolutely gorgeous, isn't it? Beautiful. So the envelope itself was quite chunky. I said, there's something in there. I said, it's quite heavy, that. And when I opened it, that was in it. So we're going to ceremoniously put it on the tree. And the funny thing was, when we actually looked at it, if you look at the Santa and the three reindeer, and you then look at the MacBites Christmas slide, which has the moon on it, but there's a Santa and four reindeer, it looks identical, apart from the fact there's four reindeer. It looks identical, but ours is going the other way. So I said, that is amazing. It even looks like the MacBites one. So that's going on the tree. Yes, it is an ornament. It's like glass. So there's a hole at the top. I think you can just about see it. And the string that comes with it, you know, you make a loop with it and then put it on the tree. It is beautiful. I've never seen anything like that. Didn't know they made stuff like that. Oh, wow. 300 to 400 cards. Wow. Neutral faith, snowman, cards. And cards for Jewish friends. Started in August. You have to start in August, 5 years behind for that. Wow. I'm sure every one of them is beautiful. So now I've got to dig out cards and I've got to work out who's going to be offended if I send a card and who isn't. Joe, you know, I haven't got time for this. Honestly, it's like I'm just sharing how wonderful it is. And to be honest, I've you know, we did the, you know how when I do stuff in Affinity Publisher, I always use A Christmas Carol. I use A Christmas Carol because it's a full book, but it's a novella. So it's about, I think it's about 30,000 words. So obviously about half the size or less of an average book. But it's a full book. So I'm working on putting together the text of the book, the actual just, you know, achristmascarol.txt and turning it into the EPUB. So when the original came out, it had artwork in it. And I needed to know exactly what artwork was in the original first edition. So there I am on the Googles, finding this artwork. And finds what I'm looking for. But I also found this bit about when Charles Dickens was writing it. And it's a beautiful story of how it came to be. He was very politically minded because he himself, his father, wasn't the most stable of characters, and the entire family ended up in the poorhouse. And Charles Dickens decided, you know, that was never happening again. So he dragged himself up by his bootstraps, as it were. So he was very interested in child poverty. So he was involved with this group of people who were trying to sort of stop child labour and put better conditions in and educate the poor. And he came up with this idea, and I think it was like the January, that he would put together a pamphlet about child poverty and how it affects all of us, and that how those that have should share with those that haven't, and it would benefit all. And I don't know how far he got with writing it, but he binned the idea in the end. And he gave a talk in the October of that year. And he had started writing something else in the August. And he himself was having problems in that the sales of his previous book, which was Martin Chuzzlewit, had dropped to a point that his income was on the edge. So they were saying to him that his income would drop by £50 a month if sales didn't improve. But he had this project on the go and really couldn't be bothered about all that. But obviously needed money to live. He had five children by then. So he spoke to this friend in the October and said he'd started another work in the August. And he got talking about what it was about. And the friend reported afterwards that he was so excited about this. And he explained he was going to do something political, but felt that not enough people would take any notice. So if you can imagine it, something, a pamphlet coming through your door from a political party that you weren't interested in, straight in the bin. And he realised that. So he decided he would take the principles of what he was saying about childhood poverty and lack of education and poor working conditions and put it into a story, but not just any story, a Christmas story. So he started in the August and banged the entire book out within 6 to 8 weeks. And it went on sale for Christmas. And it was A Christmas Carol. And that's where the story actually came from. So all of the, to me, when I look at A Christmas Carol, it's not about, again, we've got these friends that are a bit, what would you say? They don't like sickly sweet. Oh, that's cheesy. And people say that A Christmas Carol is cheesy. It's not cheesy if you understand what's behind it. It was a fascinating, fascinating story. So I got all of that information and the images that I was looking for. So to me, Christmas is about sharing, being kind, just a more gentle time. And this year could well rumble into next year the way it's going. Who would have a vaccine? Who would have a vaccine? I've just said to Mike, he said, the AstraZeneca one's 70% effective. I said, you've not read the small print. I said, it's 90 if you take both halves of the vaccine. Oh, it's the two bits. I said, yes, Mike. So he sorts that out. And I said, so it's 90% effective. So I said, do we need to worry about the other 10%? So he said, so we're pondering. You see, all you guys are yes, yes, yes. I'll trust Simon a lot because Simon's had it. So Simon wouldn't want it again. So I'm pondering this. And I said, can you imagine you've had the vaccine and then you go out and there's a 1 in 10 chance that you would get it. And everybody is like, oh, yes, but there's a 9 in 1 chance that you wouldn't. And I said to Mike, if I handed you a loaded gun with 9 barrels in and a bullet in one of them, would you pull the trigger? Would you put it to your head, pull the trigger? And he went, no. So I don't know. Oh, we've talked you into sending out cards. Excellent. Mrs. Simon's mum hand paints every card. Wow. Doesn't have wall space for paintings and puts her artwork to go to. That's beautiful. You know, hand-done cards are so beautiful, aren't they? The sentiment behind and how long it takes. And somebody must really care to do that and send it. That's what I'm saying. Just because somebody doesn't hand-paint them for Christmas, to me, you know, I haven't got time. So if I send a card, there is sentiment with it, just like the sentiment that is there with a handmade one. And for somebody not to appreciate that with the kindness with which it was intended, that's why I got grumpy last year. I got so grumpy, I said I wasn't sending any. But this year, I think people like, I think Paul's spot on, and I think we'll probably get more cards than we did last year, which is such a fiasco. Now I've got to dig the cards out. Oh, it'll happen. It'll happen. Mrs. Simon has changed her tune on a vaccine. You were cautious, but after seeing what a mild case looks like without hospitalisation, now I think it's probably a good idea. My concern with it is how fast it's been done, because either a vaccine can be done that fast, and when vaccines have taken 10 and 15 years in the past, what are they doing? Milking it? It doesn't make sense that it can be done that fast, but generally speaking, they don't bother doing it that fast. She's had enough of Simon's whining. Oh, poor Simon. Don't whinge, Simon. It was like man flu, but worse, Simon. You can now claim you've had something worse than man flu. all the people who have known somebody who has had it or has had it have said to me absolutely in a heartbeat. And I'm thinking I just don't want to be the first ones to get it, because what's going to happen next, once it gets put out to many, many more thousands of people, millions of people, we'll start hearing all about the side effects. There was one thing that started off about side effects. There was red patches on the arms, pains in the arms. And I just looked at Mike and went, I guess if you have a reaction to it, at least it must be working. Don't start about man flu. There's no vaccine for that. Ah, but Simon, if they can put a vaccine together in less than a year, why is nobody working on man flu? This is what I mean. Anthony sends digital cards, but always makes an effort. Get a nice photo of Barney. All the photos of Barney are nice. He's adorable. I wonder if I could get Lola to pose. I don't see much chance of that myself, but I'll give it a go. Now, Tracy's son, who is in the know in these things, says he won't have this vaccine. Anything that hasn't been through full long-term analysis on side effects considers unnecessarily dangerous. Thalidomide. True. Those are the kind of cases that I worked on when I worked as a medical malpractice solicitor. And that's the issue. In fact, I worked on the pertussis vaccine cases. They were heartbreaking because it wasn't as though it was just an inoculation. It wasn't as though it was a treatment for something that the child already had. And that was a most unfortunate side effect. These children were perfect until they had the vaccine, and then they ended up quadriplegic. And that one probably did go through 15 years of testing. How did you miss that? There was a very good video on the thalidomide case. I think it was a girl called Georgia May. And there was stuff in there I didn't know about the politics of it. It was a German company, and obviously it wasn't that long after the war, was it? It wasn't that long a video either. Let's have a look. Georgia May. No, Georgia Marie, that's it. And it was on her channel. Where is it? Needless to say, don't see it listed. You're going to have to click through. She does true crime videos and she does history videos. And this was one of her history videos. And I thought, oh, you know, I've read up on that one. But when I watched it, I'm like, whoa. Right, where are you? Do you know all these thumbnails? Look, there it is. There it is. I'll put the link in case anybody is interested. It is, I think it's 26 minutes long. So it's like a history video, but very interesting in terms of vaccination. It wasn't, was it, was the thalidomide one, the one for morning sickness? Because they tried giving that to my mother and she wouldn't take it. Thankfully. Large portions of the vaccine were already in the works before COVID. I guess it could have come from the SARS stuff, couldn't it? They may be working on it. But if they put in place better practices, better procedures for creating vaccines because of this, where it can move faster, then that would be fantastic. But I think the problem that you've got with it is there's still the aspect of testing it and long-term testing. This cannot have had long-term testing. Oh, Deb's just finished listening to A Christmas Carol by Tim Curry. Is that the one from Audible? I think they gave it away about 2 years ago and I haven't actually heard it yet. So I might put that on for a listen. I think they're still using thalidomide abroad or a variation of it. Mrs. Simon's cautious, the youngest caught swine flu. Oh, dear me, you have had no luck, have you? One of the first to have Tamiflu. Oh, Tamiflu had dodgy side effects, didn't it? Was that the one where you had suicidal thoughts? I think the drug actually worked, but the side effects were basically worse. I remember that came up because my mum was concerned about it, the age that she was at the time. And going on here, crying out loud. She was like, well, would I take Tamiflu? Luckily, it didn't come to it. thankfully. But it is concerning, isn't it, when the cure is potentially at least as bad, if not worse. Let's have a look. Unpleasant effects of pregnancy, yeah. I found the best way to avoid that was to avoid pregnancy myself. But there again, you have wonderful children and I don't. But mine have four legs and fur. That's how I look at it. I remember at school, you know, when you're about 14, it's like, where will you be in 10 years' time? And it's like, I'm going to have 15 children. And I'm like, no. And everybody just said, oh, you will. Guess what? Didn't. Including a barrister when I went to Chambers to work. And it was, well, there's no point taking a woman on because they only go off and have children. I thought, is this the 80s or have the 70s called or the 60s called? I wanted their attitude back. Proved him wrong anyway. Coronaviruses are very common. Well, this is one variant, isn't it? That other video was amazing with that. I had no idea. When you're taking the flu vaccines and it's like it's only for a particular strain and they're guessing and stuff like that. And you think, I'm not at all sure people know that. Honestly, I think people think I'm going to have a flu jab and that's it. And then I'm immune. And then they wander around and they act as if they're immune. I think it would be wiser to either take the jab if you want it, a standard flu jab, and behave as if you haven't for the people who can't take it or are vulnerable. But we will see what happens. I was told I'd be a coffee drinker when I got older and I never liked it. Oh, Kim, I loathe coffee. Oh, my mum adored it and my aunt adored it. When they got together, you know, I could just about make them a coffee. But the smell, even the smell, it was just the vilest smell as far as I was concerned. Oh, just never took to it at all. Flu vaccine is for multiple strains overall highly effective. I've never had one. But we knew a lady at the football match and she was in a vulnerable group. She was only about probably the age I am now. And she had this flu jab, just a standard flu jab. She ended up in hospital. Now, I know it's a little bit live here or it's not live, that whatever. But it took her so badly. She ended up in hospital. She's on a respirator. I think she had lung damage. When she came back to the football, which was about 4 months later, she couldn't move for 4 months. She came back to the football. She had aged 20 years and she never got over it. She never really became the person she was before. And that quite shocked me. But when I told my mum, she said, well, that happened to your dad, you know. And I said, what? And he was working at a company that supplied children with food. He would take, well, he wouldn't, but the company provided school dinners. So it was, oh, it would be a good idea if all the staff had this flu vaccine. So he went and had this flu jab. Didn't think anything about it at all. And within 24 hours was flat on his back. And she said he ended up in hospital and they told him he must never have one again. And I'm like, you wouldn't think it could take anybody that badly. But there's two people that I know that it did. And right up until the end, Dad never had another one. He had one his last, that'd be Christmas 2012. And that was because the doctor said, you know, times have moved on a bit. And I thought, well, to be honest, the state he's in, I don't think it could be much worse anyway. But again, he did have a bad reaction to it. And I didn't think you were supposed to be able to. I thought you couldn't have a bad reaction because it wasn't enough to do that. It's supposed to just stimulate the immune system sufficiently. But there's two people had it really bad. And that worries me because, you know, if it was two random people, fair enough. But one was my dad. I got the same genes he has. So what was it with him that made it so bad? Because my grandmother would have them every year. She must have had them every year for 20 years and she was fine. What was it with him? Because trust me, if there was something defective, doubtless I've got it. That's how I look at it. So we'll have to see how that goes. Paul's been okay every year, no reaction. Deb says, last two flu vaccines reacted badly. Oh, very sick. You see, that's what concerns me. Because you know this laughable holiday we've got coming up. Yeah, not happening. But this year, to be honest, they're not actually pushing the flu jab. Do I need the flu jab if I never leave the house again? Let's concentrate on the next 2 months. If I am not leaving the house, and I can't see me leaving the house till at least Easter, if not beyond, then do I need a flu jab? Is it something that you can only catch, or can you develop it from standing looking out of a window? Because if I can't, there's literally no point. No point whatsoever. I'm a great believer in only taking it something if I need it. But obviously, every year for the last 20-odd, Mike has had a cold or stroke flu at Christmas. It used to drive Mum mad. That's the other thing, Kim. If there are that many and you're getting one, if it was your own GP, then they would know you, they would have your notes, and they should do some kind of judgment based on your medical records. But this is a mass rollout. You're basically just told to turn up at a warehouse and they'll inject you. With what? They're not telling you which one you're getting, and they're not looking at your medical records, which that to me is criminal. But that's the plan. So Anthony's been okay. Stiff arm. That's what they said with the COVID one. So that must be a known issue. Pneumonia one hurts like no one's business. Yeah, I don't fancy that one then. I'm not too bad with injections. I was terrible as a child. But there again, you know, when they've stabbed at you 37 times just to take blood. Yeah, you bring an injection in. Not happening. Do not like the look of that. Take it away. And hubby refuses to have one. He's a man who knows his own mind, Tracy. Is he being advised by baby Tracy? Is that the issue? Is son Tracy advising him? Maybe not. The stupid nurse who rang only talked about him turning 60. Yeah, but 60's the new 40. Honestly. We've got friends in the Catanians. The first time we went away, which was 2016, and this couple were on the dance floor. And I said, they're enjoying themselves, aren't they? Anyway, we've got talking. And somebody said, oh, yeah, you wouldn't believe he's 79, would you? And I nearly fell off the chair. I said, you've got to be kidding me. I said, I thought he was about 59. They were really, really dancing. So people are younger than maybe years ago, because you're doing more in terms of activities, aren't you? That's what we've got told, Kim, that you're going to get an appointment, and I guess it's going to have to be two because it's in two halves, and you turn up at this mass centre and they just inject you. But this it's medical. It's got to be done by your doctor. There's no other way of doing it, but that's Boris's plan. So I'm leaving Boris and his plan to ferment. And when it's all sorted, then I'll think about it when I've seen what's happened to the other 55 million people in the country. And anyway, the vulnerable should go first with the best vaccine for them. I can wait. I can live my life locked in the house. So let everybody else take priority. Those who can't. People who are in care homes who are just dropping. I mean, if you're in a care home and they bring somebody in from hospital and they bring COVID with them, where can you go? It's not your fault. And then there's the staff to think about. They need to go first. But, you know, we've got people that are talking to us, I'm going to be the front of the queue. And I'm like, well, you know, you're in a category lower than me, babe. So that's not happening. I guess you could pay privately. But that might not end. Why don't you just stay at home with your Christmas tree up in February, living your best life? That's my plan. That's my plan. Sounds like the ones that need deep freezing will be used in the city, and the Moderna one that only needs minus 20 will be sent to rural. Yeah, the AstraZeneca one only needs a fridge, so, and it's cheaper. So I've got a sneaking suspicion that's going to be the most common one. And didn't Boris buy 30 million doses of that? So I reckon the AZ one's going to be the one that's given out the most. Anthony never had any problems with needles until a bad experience with a nurse on a children's ward. Oh, children's wards. About 13, most painful injection ever. Oh, after that, he had a needle phobia. I was never great. I was okay with my original GP. He was fantastic. You'd walk in and he'd say, you know, hello, take a seat. How long have you had X, Y, and Z? And you'd be like, how did you know? I've not said anything yet. He was that good. He was that good. He was amazing. So I wasn't frightened of doctors with him. It probably started with this. I went in for an X-ray and they were putting the contrast agent in, or they were trying. It was just, it's just this little butterfly needle. It'll only take 2 seconds. Yeah, there were six of them holding me down while I was screaming, and it took them 37 goes. So at the end of it, not a fan of that, can honestly say. So when you said children's ward, oh yeah. Do they put the ones that are the worst on the children's ward, do you think? Because that was my experience. So I wasn't fond of it after that, but the worst injection I ever had was this sister, and she was a right tartar. Oh, you did not cross this sister. She was like matron from 1942. And apparently she never gave injections. It was beneath her. But she decided I was so special that she would give me mine. Oh, never again. Like Anthony said, never felt anything that bad with an injection. I don't know whether she shoved it in the wrong place. It was bad. It was bad. Oh, you have to inject yourself every month. Is doing it yourself any easier? My mum decided that we should have a blood test each to work out our blood group. And she got this kit and it came with this like a needle, but it was recessed into like a popper. And the idea was that you put it on your finger or your thumb and you push the popper and then it stabbed you and then there was a bit of blood. A meat cleaver could not have made as much of a mess as this little thing did. I was bruised for weeks, so I didn't find it easy doing it myself. It was no easier for me. You wanted the daughter-in-law to broach the subject, but son didn't want to lumber her with it. Oh dear. If he doesn't want one, he doesn't want one. So unless he would having one affect his mental health more than not having one? Because it probably would for me. If I got backed into a corner and had to have something that I didn't think I wanted, that would probably affect me more than not actually having it. And then at least in my mind, it's like, well, I'm doing what I want, what I think is right. But depends on the circumstances, doesn't it? You see, Kim's fine with it. Allergy shots, no problem. You must have, do you do yourself or does somebody do it for you? Because you must have better folk doing it than we've had. First responders and medical staff need to go first, closely followed by those in nursing homes. I totally agree. And I don't think there should be a mad panic for everybody else, because they're not going to be, they can't make it fast enough for everybody else. So there needs to be a queue, and those dealing with people who are suffering clearly need to be first. I don't know why people are arguing about it. But there again, it's like Facebook, isn't it? They'll argue about anything. They'll be using everything. No way can one company produce enough to meet demand or treat enough of the population quick enough. I'm still concerned, Simon, about who's getting which vaccine and why. Or whether they're just going to treat it as like it doesn't matter. Because some of the vaccine is more effective in older people, so they should get that one. It's just logic. But, you know, given what messes I've seen the government create this year so far, can you imagine the carve-up that this vaccination programme is going to be? Head in hands, really. Oral injections in kids are easier. They get numb very quickly. Yeah, it didn't work for me. I just, mind you, you see, by that stage, Kim, I didn't like anything medical full stop. So I was a raving basket case before I even got through the door. You had a good nurse who taught you. Took it slowly. Do find it easier now you know what's happening and I'm in control. And Freddie Mercury eye volume helps. Oh, Anthony, now I've got a vision in my mind. Don't become diabetic. You've got to get blood sugar readings every day. Oh, no. No, I couldn't. Definitely. No. That would mean going to see a doctor. So no. Anyway, Paul, it'll be all fine in a while. You'll do it all with your watch and you won't feel a thing, according to Timmy. Millions of vaccines are already made. They just need to get the testing completed and authorised. So you're good to go over there. We'll have to see. Tracy's not going to push. Diabetic, cardiac and overweight, as well as 60. Four factors. Yes, but I still think if he's happier without it, that probably offsets two of them. You know, if he feels, he's only going to feel worse, isn't he? Like everyone kept telling my dad, you shouldn't be driving, you shouldn't be driving. He lived for driving. That's what he did. He was a transport manager. He started out as a lorry driver. He loved driving. And as soon as he stopped driving, he gave up the will to live. And it was because he still wanted to drive, even if he only like pottered around somewhere. And it, once that was taken off him, he said, well, you know, nothing's my decision anymore, so why should I bother? So that element of what he wants is so important. It really is. Worries Mrs. Simon they're making millions of doses before authorisation. Huge pressure to give the go-ahead. Exactly. I mean, one day, I swear, something will come out of this, you know, oh, well, that shouldn't have been done, but... I mean, it's a foregone, really, that it's going to get approval. Because, like you say, can you imagine if it didn't? It's a bit like that guy that was supposed to do an independent inquiry into Priti Patel. And when he did, he left. And she's still there. She was the one that had done wrong. He was investigating her, for crying out loud. That's what happens these days. They've already said if the vaccines aren't working, they'll be dumped. And such a lot of money will be wasted. Oh, unbelievable. Unbelievable. There are no words, are there? Well, at least we know it'll probably happen. It'll probably go on this till the new year, because even if they can get the vaccines out, can you imagine just rolling this out as a programme? Do you know what could happen that I've been pondering? I've been pondering if they roll it out. It's not compulsory, so some people decide not to have it. And then once we've got the vaccinations going and the testing programmes there and the track and trace is working, so, you know, obviously cloud cuckoo land, but just imagine, bear with me. And then they say, right, well, Old Trafford can open up again and the crowd can come in. Is it going to be you can only go if you've had the vaccine? Because in that way, the government won't make it compulsory, but if you want to leave your house, you're going to have had one. I don't know is the answer to that. But I can imagine it happening because right now, I mean, not right now because we're in lockdown, government lockdown. But 3 weeks ago when the Apple store was open, you could not go in it unless you'd had a temperature check. Which to me doesn't tell you diddly. I guess if it's normal, then technically speaking, you're okay. And if it's not normal... Like I said to Mike, there was a woman, it was on the BBC site, this lady, and this lady had done an interview with them. I think she'd gone on Twitter to say something about it, and that's how come they'd interviewed her. But this lady had been abused online. She'd been abused in shops. She'd been abused by people who knew her. And as soon as people found out what her name was, they abused her. She'd actually been hit physically. Now, what was her name? Her first name was Corona. Well, that's not her fault. She didn't christen herself with the name. If people are beating up people who just happen to have the name Corona, can you imagine you're going to go into an Apple store and they do the temperature check and they tell you you can't go in because you've got a high temperature? So you turn around and you go back to your car. You could be dead by the time you get there because someone will beat you up based on the fact this poor woman was being kicked in the street because her name was Corona. There are no words for how stupid people can be. Obviously, not us, other people. I mean, it makes no sense to abuse the woman or hit the woman, because if she's got Corona, she's going to give it to you, you muppets. Unbelievable. Kim thinks if everything goes to plan, everyone who wants one will be vaccinated by May. Ticketmaster has said they'll require proof of a recovery or a test the day before. See what I mean? You're going to have some degree of medical something, either the vaccination or a certificate of this or whatever, before you can do anything. Can you imagine without corona if the government had instigated that? Before you can go anywhere, you've got to have a test. Let's frighten the population to death first and then roll it out. Anthony, there are no words. At the start of all this, a group of idiots beat up a Chinese student because they thought he had COVID. Oh, and Corona was a fairly popular name where Tracy is. It's got a kind of Spanish feel to it, hasn't it? Apparently this lady came from Ireland and her mum wanted one name and her dad wanted another. And there were things like Mary or something, the other names you would have heard of. And they couldn't agree. So they decided they would compromise on Corona, which is a nice name. Isn't it something to do with crown or a queen, something like that? Idiots here thought it was caused by Corona beer. Where are these people? Yes, ISIS is a popular name, isn't it? There was a shop in the Trafford Centre called ISIS. And then, you know, 9/11 happened. It ended up shutting down. This shop had to close down. I think it was a jeweller's. It ended up shut down anyway. But until then, it was just, you know, it's just a name, isn't it? And there was again, linked to from this post about the lady called Corona was another post about a girl many years ago, a young girl. She was probably only about 6 or 7, and she was called ISIS. And then once the 9/11 thing happened, people started abusing her for being called ISIS. I mean, honest to God, it's just stupidity. Oh, yes, there is ISIS audio, isn't there? I've got some of their books. Is it still called that, Mrs. Simon? It's still there and it's still called ISIS. Unbelievable. Crown, Our Lady of. Makes sense, that, doesn't it? Does make sense. Oh, fabulous. Right, okay, we've yacked on, haven't we? Right, going to be back tomorrow. If all goes to plan, do keep your eye on tomorrow's mail. I'm intending to put something in it. It's a bit of a quiz. A bit of a quiz. So don't miss the detail of tomorrow's mail. I'll sort it out with Mike when he's finished his meeting. Make sure that we put it in, because the quiz question will be in tomorrow and then I'll put the answer in on Wednesday. But if I don't do the two together, I'll forget the answer and then that would never do, would it? So I'll try and put that in for tomorrow. So keep your eye on the MacBytes mail for tomorrow. Is it a MacBytes? No, Kim, it's not. Definitely not. Can't record a MacBytes tonight because Mike's in his meeting. So I can tell you definitely, categorically, it's not a MacBytes. But it is something that you can keep your beady eye on and see if you spot it. There we go. I can't say any more than that until I've written the mail. So I will go and I will write the mail right now and make sure that that bit is in it. Okay, then. Right, good night to each and every one of you. Simon, Mrs. Simon and the baby Simons, keep well, keep improving. I will say goodnight from me and I will say goodnight from Mike. We will both see you tomorrow. Until then, stay safe, guys.